1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. CBS News has learned that another batch of documents marked classified from President Biden's tenure as vice president were discovered in a second location. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
Spoke to a former U.S. attorney who told us that more documents being discovered doesn't necessarily increase the likelihood of intent. And intent here is key because he said it could possibly just be additional examples of sloppy staff work. So what investigators are doing, Justice Department officials that are reviewing this case are really looking at whether or not this was on purpose as part of their review.
The FAA blames a corrupted database file for bringing down a computer system used to give pilots safety and other information. It caused a nationwide ground stop this morning. CBS's Steve Futterman.
The grounding affected thousands of flights. This man in Detroit had his flight to Cancun canceled.
Our trip was from Wednesday to Monday, so we're kind of shortening our trip, and now we're not even sure if we can get out of Detroit tomorrow. So we're going to keep trying.
This woman at Washington's Reagan Airport had her flight delayed.
I'll get to Florida when I get there.
In all, the grounding lasted 2.5 hours. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Extreme rainstorms in California are putting communities in Santa Barbara County to the test. KCOY-TV's John Palmenteri in Montecito.
This debris basin in the Montecito Hills is at or near capacity, filling with rocks and debris. What a powerful, prolonged rainfall drenched the area hills. Several debris basins are now in the same precarious position with little capacity left. Nearby, several roads were cut off by small landslides.
Being happy could lead to better health in your later years, CBS's Matt Piper.
Teenagers who feel loved, happy, or optimistic are in better health when they're in their 20s and 30s. The American Heart Association study says the link was especially strong among Black youth, that the way they feel about their lives in a positive way may just help prevent cardiometabolic disease as adults.
A man in San Diego who spent 30 years in prison for a crime he claims he did not commit has been released. Humberto Duran was arrested in 1993 for murder and attempted murder in East Los Angeles.
I'm feeling good, happy, unbelievable. I can't believe I'm out.
Loyola Project for the Innocent took up Duran's case, and last August, the Parole Board of Hearings found Duran suitable for parole. The U.S. Supreme Court is not going to weigh in on efforts by gun rights advocates to throw out a new New York State law prohibiting carrying guns in sensitive public places, such as transit and stadiums. No winner last night, so the new Mega Millions jackpot for Friday is $1.3 billion. That's the game's second highest jackpot. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You'd never knowingly feed your pup mystery meat or spoiled grocery store food, so why are those some of the most common protein sources in kibble today? Yep, the dog food ingredient, meat meal, can be made of spoiled supermarket meat and packing plant scraps.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. Your dog needs a biologically appropriate diet similar to what they would eat in the wild. That's why I developed Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw food made with premium cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, and superfood veggies and fruit.
Bailey is 12 years old. He has been on your food for 9 bags now.
Nature's Blend is pantry safe and has zero artificial preservatives, additives, filler, or meat meal.
He's got more energy, able to run around and play when our grandson comes.
For a limited time, save 54% off Nature's Blend and receive a free pack of premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Marty or text Marty to 511-511.
I can't thank you enough. He's 12 and I'm enjoying every day with him.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to one additional text. Text stop to opt out.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 12th. In Wood County, the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 8:45 a.m. at the ADRC CW in Wausau, followed by the board meeting at 9:30 a.m. The Executive Committee will meet at 11:30 a.m. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board Executive Committee will meet at 9 a.m. by teleconference. The Wood County Library Board will meet at 6 p.m. at the Pittsville Public Library. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will hold their meeting at 4:30 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Park Commission will meet at 5 p.m. at the Jordan Park West Lodge. The Diversity Affairs and Inclusiveness Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex, followed by the Agriculture and Extension Education Committee at 7 p.m. In Adams County, the Highway Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Highway Department. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 28. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. High of 32. Chance of flurries again tomorrow night. Lows around 20. Upper 20s Friday. Low 30s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Johnson with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text, give us a call. And today is, and I think the whole month is, National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Not the awareness part is important in that phrase, because we're not celebrating just the act of it. We're trying to spread awareness of it. And so here to talk more about human trafficking and maybe debunk some myths and misconceptions and what the average person thinks of when they hear that term, is Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, where she handles everything from providing support to victims and survivors of human trafficking, but then also that comes through the organization. And so welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for people who are unfamiliar with the organization, mm-hmm. it's based in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And which might surprise some people, because mm-hmm. I think often people think of this as something that happens other places and not how often it's happening right in our own backyard. So mm-hmm. just to kick off, tell me a little bit more about what the organization does.
Yeah. So Fight to End Exploitation, we've been around since 2013. We're based out of Racine, Wisconsin, but we handle mostly southeastern Wisconsin, but we also work with other organizations throughout the state. And our goals are prevention, intervention, and restoration. So however we can do that, part of that is drawing awareness, which is what I'm doing right now with, you know, speaking and teaching people and getting the conversation on human trafficking in the forefront. And then we also assist law enforcement and other community leaders and organizations with, you know, victim and survivor support. So that can look a little bit different depending on a case-by-case basis. And then we also do whatever we can to help those victims, you know, become a survivor. And then ultimately our goal is to have them thrive and become a thriver.
And so with that, because I think, like I said, I think some people, when they think of human trafficking, they think of Taken.
Yes.
They think of people being kidnapped against their will and chained up to mm-hmm. a bedpost,
yes.
and in a foreign country. Typically, yep. I think in movies, it's usually like Eastern Europe,
yep.
Or Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that is not the case. Well, I mean, certainly it can be the case, but
yes.
overwhelmingly why a group in Racine, Wisconsin exists is because it actually happens here.
Yep.
And so what are some of, in that, what are some of the myths or some of the stats that you can give as far as how prevalent it is right here?
Yeah, that is, that's a huge issue that we're dealing with, is just a lot of the misconceptions. And people think it's the watch out for the white vans. People are going to kidnap you. Every few months, there's a new rumor going around on social media, like watch out for zip ties on, you know, your car or flowers being placed somewhere. It's just, it's interesting how, you know, things evolve. And I feel, especially through the pandemic, when people are turning more online, that rumors have, you know, we had the Wayfair rumor that was a couple years ago where people were being kidnapped and trafficked through the Wayfair website. It's just, it's insane how, you know, rumors can just spread so fast. And then that does so much damage for the real victims and survivors, because the real, you know, victims and survivors aren't being seen, because people are, you know, worried about, you know, being kidnapped and this and that. And yes, those cases do happen, but they're very rare. Like Wisconsin, we have 72 counties in the state, and we have had human trafficking cases in all 72 counties. And that is the reality of it. And it's, you know, it's the hardest part about human trafficking right now with awareness is getting people to understand the realities of it. And as I talk through this, it's probably going to be, you know, it's a lot of information coming at everybody. So a lot of people, you know, are confused. And that's why we have a whole month. January is dedicated to, you know, Human Trafficking Prevention Month. And today is the actual Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so I guess if you want to, I can get into a little bit of what
it is. I mean, we got a whole half hour here, so let's get into it.
Perfect. So so as the advocacy coordinator, I mostly work with victims of sex trafficking. And
because I think that's an important distinction, because mm-hmm. human trafficking can be for more than just sex work. It's,
yes.
It's also for labor.
Yes.
In a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but plenty of situations.
Definitely. And we do have labor trafficking in Wisconsin as well. It's just right now, the majority of the victims that I work with are sex trafficking, just because, I mean, look at our economy right now. It's really hard for people to survive. And the people who are most vulnerable have become even more vulnerable during this pandemic. And because of that vulnerability that's out there, more traffickers are exploiting that. And we will get into a little bit of the laws, too. And this is evolving so much faster than the laws can evolve with it. And same with resources. The hardest part with our organization is, you know, finding support. And COVID, the pandemic, ruined a lot of, you know, support, because trying to find housing for people, trying to find, you know, job security, that's all, it's hard enough for, you know, a stable person right now to survive. And think of, you know, the people who, you know, once you kind of get left behind, it's really hard for them to, you know, come to the surface. And so that's what we're really focused on, is helping prevent those vulnerabilities and meeting whatever those needs for the victims that we support.
Because, and I think it's important to the distinction of what you're saying as far as vulnerable people, because it's often what I understand is people get in a situation where, and it's not unlike some of the stories you hear with like domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
where it's you're not chained up to a bedpost.
Yep.
You are emotionally, mentally, psychologically, how would I ever leave?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so you can say more about that, of like what the tendencies are, why people can find themselves in these situations. And it's not because they're chained up that mm-hmm. they can't leave. It's because of all of the, how would I survive without this?
Exactly. Yeah. The most common type for, you know, sex trafficking is to have a relationship with the, you know, the victim and the trafficker. And that, you know, we call it trauma bonding. And that kind of mirrors the domestic violence cycle, where, you know, if somebody was abused the first instance, you know, obviously people would leave, but it never really starts off that way. There's always that initial interaction. There's that grooming process, which is basically, you know, having a relationship with somebody. And those are often the most difficult cases to work with, just because a lot of the victims don't even see themselves as victims. They see, you know, their trafficker or exploiter is somebody they're in a relationship with, or they perceive to be in a relationship with, or it could be their own family members. Some family, you know, there's familial trafficking, which is a big part of trafficking that a lot of people don't realize and don't understand. Some people, it's just, you know, what they were born into. So you see a lot of victims, you know, they come from broken homes, or, you know, families with substance abuse. Maybe they're in and out of the foster care system, or, you know, there's drug issues in the family, or a lot of, you know, victims have been sexually assaulted and, you know, as kids. And that, you know, when you're exposed to that and you're, you know, you're dealing with that as you grow up, that's just a normal way of life. And that's the most heartbreaking thing, is to meet somebody who is young and they don't even recognize themselves as a victim, just because that's their livelihood and what they're, you know, come to be normal in their family. And it's really sad. And so you have the familial aspect of it. And then you'll have, you know, we call them Romeo pimps or Romeo traffickers.
Is this the same thing as like the lover boy thing?
Yes.
That's now become known mm-hmm. because of Andrew Tate.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's different, you know, phrases for that, but it's all the same concept, is, You know, it's not the violent, it's not being chained up, it's not the physical aspect of it. You know, that does happen in some cases, but a lot of it is just the emotional and mental component, or these people are meeting needs. You know, if you have somebody who is homeless or, you know, doesn't have a support structure, traffickers, they, you know, they prey upon that and they, you know, meet those needs. We've had victims where, you know, all it took is somebody who bought them a meal because they were hungry. Mm-hmm. And that is the gateway into that. And a lot of it is online as well. It's, you know, you don't always have to be concerned about, you know, your kids on the street, which obviously, yes, you should be, but you should be just as concerned, if not more, about who your child is talking to online, because, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all these apps, social media, it's like there's so many out there. And with how everything's evolving with virtual reality and everything, like, traffickers are, you know, in those same areas. And it's not, that's also another misconception too, is people think that this happens on the dark web. And yes, there is that component of that as well. But this is like the forward facing internet, to where we could all log on. And there are websites right now where I could pull up and I could, you know, show you how to order a victim. And it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Something that I was, we were just talking about in a segment past about governments wanting to ban TikTok for its, you know, because of the China influence. Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, this, if there's same things happening on, we were talking about the American companies, those same things happening here on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot, legislation, we're seeing like aggressive legislation being to regulate those companies, mm-hmm, to rectify those measures and help protect anybody who might be on those social media platforms. Are there aggressive measures as they're aggressively pursuing TikTok? Are they trying to work hard to make those spaces safer for people?
Yes, that is definitely a part of that too. And the hard part is just there's so many areas that we need to evolve in, and people are, you know, not talking about it like they should. They're focusing on the aspect of it that is the rare part of it, you know, being chained up or what have you. But yeah, social media, there are organizations out there, like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They do great campaigns to help, you know, try to keep your children safe online. And there are a lot of other organizations doing that. But it's just, we kind of get buried with all the other, you know, issues. You know, every single day, you know, you log online or you read the news, and it's another crazy story, and there's a lot going on. And so when we have support, a lot of, like, we work a lot with law enforcement, and which is an amazing part of it, because we're not an investigative agency. We have to get referrals from law enforcement or other legitimate community partners. But sometimes you know, when funding gets cut or whatever, you know, what are those sources that are getting cut? A lot of them are, you know, sources like this, where you think that, you know, we could be doing so much, and unfortunately we just don't have the resources out there. So it's just, it's such a very gray area. There's so many layers involved with it. It's not just human trafficking. It also, you know, is the drug epidemic and homelessness and job security and lack of education and resources. There's so much that intertwine. And until we start having those conversations to recognize human trafficking in those realms as well, I feel like we're going to keep, you know, go two steps forward, five steps back.
Yeah. We're talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation. And one thing that doesn't feel like a gray area to me is the Safe Harbor Bill.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that and where it stands in the Wisconsin State Legislature when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, because it is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day and National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And Greg, you said you had asked a question at the break that I wanted to give you a chance to ask on air.
Cool. So when you see politicians and other people using the term trafficking to further an effort or a piece of legislation or whatever that takes away from the work you do or presents trafficking in a light that's like, you don't understand actually what trafficking is. How does that impede upon the work you do? And how do you work to clarify that message and make sure people actually know your mission?
Yes, that is another big issue that we're dealing with. And that also kind of ties into dispelling the myths and the rumors that are out there. Because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, people, when they talk about trafficking in the media and politicians, everybody is, you know, human trafficking, we have to rescue, we have to save, we have to do this or that. And they try to politicize it to where, you know, that obviously they want to you know, make an impact into to help. But by creating this fear that just, you know, keeps perpetuating the misconceptions, people don't know really what human trafficking is. And as organizations, we have to do so much more to work towards dispelling those myths. And a lot of that, especially the last couple years, you know, there's been a lot of human trafficking in regards to QAnon and all of that, which we won't get into today, but that is, we've had so many reports. The National Human Trafficking Hotline has been flooded with calls about, you know, this or that, what they've heard online. And that really just does such a disservice to really helping those who are impacted by trafficking. And so I like to always, you know, you listen to the victims and survivors. They're the ones that are experts in their own sense, and they're the ones that can tell their own stories. And so it is really frustrating when the media kind of spins things in a negative light to where it scares people, and then they start paying attention to something else. And so it just, it perpetuates those myths. So that's a very frustrating part of it as well.
Rachel, I just find it so interesting that in the almost half hour that we've been having this discussion, not once have we talked about one of the biggest issues, which are the customers.
Yes, that is, we could do a 5-hour long podcast and still only scratch the surface. But that is, it's a very supply and demand issue. Without the demand for it, there wouldn't be the supply. And so if you look at human trafficking, you know, obviously we have the drug trade, we have the weapons trade. Human trafficking is, right now, we have it estimated to be the second most profitable illegal trade out there. Because when you sell drugs, The drugs are gone. You have to get more drugs to sell. A human you can reuse and exploit over and over. And that is just, it's horrifying to put it in those perspectives, but it is. And part of that too is, you know, just look at our culture. It's so fueled with, you know, sex. And especially right now, we have kids that are growing up wanting to be stars on OnlyFans and influencers. And it's just been such a scary shift towards normalizing that. And that is a huge issue as well. But there is that demand for it, which is really disgusting. And the media likes to say, they call them Johns, which I hate that word. They're abusers. They're exploiters. They are disgusting people. But there are those people that want to have sex with people who, you know, minors, or who they're taking advantage of people in a certain situation. And so that's a very important part of it as well. And it's very sad.
So we're not going to be able to get into this too in depth because we have to wrap it up. But speaking of minors, last year, for the second time, the Safe Harbor Bill had a little bit more progress in the Wisconsin state legislature, because in Wisconsin, and correct me if I have this wrong, because it breaks my brain.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, you cannot have sex with a minor. They are not able to give consent.
Correct.
But if there is money involved, it's solicitation for the abuser, and it's prostitution.
Yes.
They get convicted. The minor gets prosecuted for prostitution. And yet they're underage, so how are they giving consent to prostitute?
Yes.
And now that we have a new legislature, that progress, I understand, has to start over.
Yes.
And it breaks my brain that people think that this is how you protect young people.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, to put it politely, it's infuriating. It really is, because kids cannot give consent. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot consent to sex. But right now, since we have not passed the Safe Harbor Bill, I think this is, yes, two or three times. It's been like 6 or 7 years. And every time that it gets a little more support, but then it doesn't pass. And I think a huge part of that is just people and our politicians, they don't understand it. Some of them think that we're trying to legalize, you know, child prostitution, which is, you know, the complete opposite of what that is trying to do. And it's very frustrating. But that's part of, you know, what I said before is this is evolving faster than our laws can keep up with, because this is 6-7 years of trying to something that seems such a no-brainer, and it's a bipartisan issue. How is it not being passed? But yet it hasn't. And yeah, it's sad, because then that you have kids and victims that don't want to report because they're scared. And that's a tactic that the traffickers use. Be like, okay, well, you can go ahead and tell people, but you're going to get arrested. You're going to get in trouble because it's illegal. And that's a very, you know, sad reality. And, you know, in Racine, we work a lot with law enforcement. And so we have, you know, good relationship with that. So we try to, you know, work with that, and we train law enforcement so that they don't, you know, arrest and prosecute. But not every, we can't train everybody. And so it's kind of sometimes based on the discretion of the law enforcement officer or the district attorney's office or whatever. And it's one of those things where it seems like a no-brainer, but yet we have to go back to the beginning.
So in the last minute that we have, what can anyone who's listening right now do to either learn more or support or try to be a little bit more involved in awareness about this?
Yes. Oh, there's a lot. I'll spew a few really quickly. A lot of it, stop watching porn. A lot of porn is very exploitive and people don't realize that. Don't buy anybody for sex, because even if you think somebody is doing it willingly, they could be doing it for a survival mechanism, and that might not be full consent on their part. Be very, you know, aware of your child online and who they're talking to. Be a conscious consumer. I know we didn't really get into labor trafficking because of time, but just, you know, fast fashion. A lot of times, if you're, you know, supporting companies that use sweatshops.
I gotta cut you off. Yes. I'm so sorry. Okay. This, Rachel Harrison is the advocacy coordinator at the Fight to End Exploitation. We will link.
The Shaw 101 FM, your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions, Thursday at 10 a.m. right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu is expected to introduce a plan this week that would create a 3.5% flat tax. Opponents of the flat tax say it benefits the rich, but the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reports LeMahieu said he would like to see a portion of the state's $6.6 billion budget surplus used to give everyone a tax cut. The measure will likely be blocked by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who is promoting a separate plan to cut income taxes by 10% for the middle class. A section of I-94 in Monroe County was closed this morning because of icy conditions causing numerous crashes. State Patrol closed I-94 between State Highway 21 on the north side of Toma and Highway EW at Warrens due to what they called impassable conditions. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night, 69-65. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta. Marquette hosts UConn. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 28. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. High of 32. Chance of flurries again tomorrow night. Lows around 20. Upper 20s Friday. Low 30s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Human trafficking, and one of the sentiments being the power of social media as a grooming tool. And that was one of the questions that we probably could have had her for an hour. There were so many different ways to take the conversation, but in the overused term of grooming in an inappropriate, and when I say inappropriate, I mean inaccurate way over the last couple of years, there is actual grooming that happens in chat rooms. Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't even know if it's chat rooms. It was chat rooms like when it was like AOL. When
I'm
you
sorry,
and
I don't
were
laugh at that, but that was such a.
Do you know what I mean? It was like yeah. It was chat rooms. No, it was AOL. At one point, yeah. Oh, and yeah, now it's DMs. DMs, on yeah, yeah. Instagram.
And,
it's
and
DMs
servers,
on Facebook.
And servers.
Yeah. And so the story that we were going to talk about next, while it's not specific to human trafficking, it is specific to social media in that, you know, I think we've had a lot of conversations around. I mean, because I'm on social media a lot, so I feel like one of the common themes of this show is we talk about what's either happening online, whether it's trending, but also the impact that this has on our mental health. And there's been lots of talk and studies and stuff on mental health, the impact of social media on children's mental health. But now, the Seattle School District has filed a 91-page lawsuit against the major social media outlets, which I mm-hmm. think is fascinating. And so, Greg, what were your kind of like takeaways as far as first reading this? I have to get the article back up to tell more of the details of it.
My takeaway is I was really split on it.
Interesting.
Because while I am, don't let it be confused here, folks. I'm all about children's rights, advocating for children, their health and safety. But I'm wondering how much can be done with a lawsuit like this. Especially in light, I mean, we'll go in the details as far as how they are protected, how the big companies are protected from this sort of liability. But I mean, it the school district, can they do certain things? Can they take the kids' phones and say, like, okay, you kids can have phones, but at the beginning of the day, you got to put them in these bags. We make people put them in for concerts. You'll get them back at the end of the day so you can contact your parents. Mm-hmm. If you need to contact someone during the day, you can go to the office and make a phone call. Like, it's much deeper. It's much more nuanced. But my immediate thing was, what can the schools do right now to keep maybe phones out of their hands? Because beyond school in that area, they're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the kids are looking at their phone at home, if they're looking at their phone with their friends, that's a different discussion. Like how involved are the parents? And I'm not like placing blame, but this seems, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This seems such more nuanced of a discussion that a 91-page lawsuit against tech companies, I don't know if it will solve the problem because we're talking about mental health here.
Well, and I don't, to a certain extent, so the Seattle Public School alleges that the very design of these platforms, which seek to maximize the amount of time users spend on them, is flawed and dangerous, particularly mm-hmm. to kids. And they argue that the longer people stay on social media, the more ads those companies sell, and thus the more money they stand to make. And so there's some of the features, whether it's push notifications, and they're designed to draw users in. And I know this as an adult, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't have social media when I was a teenager. Like I had, as I said, I had my Nokia phone with Snake on it. That was the about the extent that I had.
Wow, brag.
You didn't have
no.
Well, no, because you were old enough that you
Shut
didn't even
up.
Have a phone in high school.
We had a cell phone. We had a car phone first.
Was it in a bag?
Shut up.
And I had the same one. I asked that out of relatability.
Okay, I thought you were just calling me old. We had the car phone that went in the car wherever we drove. So the person who was driving got the car phone, and then we had a beeper. Not to bring it down, when my dad got ill, we had a beeper. So in that case, someone happened, we can contact the family member. And then we got a cell phone. What I'm trying to say is it was all for emergencies only. If you dare use it for anything other than emergency only, you will pay a price, mister. Sorry, go on.
This is not, it's like long distance phone calls
collect
used
call.
To be. I'm like,
yeah.
who are you talking to?
Yeah, like,
how
like,
much is this costing
when me? They'll be like, 1-900-COLLECT. I'm like, who's calling collect? I mean, seriously, you got to be dying to call collect.
No, but the trick with collect was you but then when
hi,
it said,
this is Greg, get home to the hospital.
Come pick me up right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get picked up. So part of this is the school system says it doesn't have the resources to manage a crisis that is being made worse by social media. And so that's what I don't understand, the legality of this, of what standing they have to pursue this and even what they are looking to get from it. And in reality, I don't know how far this goes because tech companies have
protection
and an enormous legal shield mm-hmm. and an army of lawyers.
Yep.
So I don't know where this will go, but I feel like it's interesting that there is, has this happened before as far as an entity trying to sue social media companies. I know that they've testified. The companies have testified in front of Congress as far as we all know those viral moments of do you promise to regulate Finsta? Sir, Finsta is not a product. It is a colloquial term for people who have a fake Instagram account, but he just could not wrap his head around. Oh
God, our leaders are so dumb sometimes.
And so I know that there's more opportunity for lawmakers to try to regulate big tech, but I just don't understand how this lawsuit would work beyond the fact that we're talking about it right now.
I think that, so I have two points of thing. Like one, there's the side of me that just says, I don't think anyone sued all the tech companies like in this type of fashion. I don't think it's going to go very far. I think, like you said, they have a bunch of lawyers. They actually have written law and protections within the U.S. codes to take care of that. But also, the other side of me says, all right, this could start the conversation. And going back with what I was talking about with Rachel when I asked her the question, which is, you're going after TikTok about Chinese communist influence, but we're looking at a piece of legal documentation here that's saying we believe that these companies are harmful towards children. What are you going to do about it now? Will you do something about that? Will you take some of the protections away? Will you suggest legislation that will protect children more? That's my whole thing, is that we say we care about the kids, and now we have some documentation from schools, from counselors, from all sorts of experts who work with children saying, we believe this is a problem. What can our lawmakers do then to say, we're hearing you, we got you, let's try something? And you know, we'll still go after TikTok for being Chinese and bad and scary. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't think it has much standing, honestly.
I don't think it has much standing either.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to think, is there any amount of pressure or lawsuits that could change the internal practices of these big tech companies?
I think they'll just get around it. Because in the interview, in the story, they interviewed representatives from most of these companies, and they're like, we have them in place, we're taking care of it. They're just going to always say the same thing. They're just going to keep saying, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And then they'll think they have something, and
because what do you actually do? You, like, in their control, do you just have an age limit? And like, but that you can obviously get around. We talked about last week in Louisiana, you now have to, speaking because of
that. I saw this one.
Yeah, Louisiana, you have to put your ID in order to access porn sites now.
Which, sorry, but it made me think of the voter ID thing, where it's like, what, if people who don't have a driver's license, how can they vote? If I don't have a driver's license in Louisiana, I can't look at porn. That's un-American. Come on!
All right. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
But like, so let's say a pie in the sky type of idea. Let's say,
like, what would actually protect children from the darker sides of social media?
From the darker sides of social media, and they're speaking, if we're taking like the cyberbullying out of it, because they did mention cyberbullying, but I feel like it was more about the ads and what kids are seeing as far as accounts. If you register as one of those users as a child, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, how much money would they lose if all underage accounts, now granted, I understand that kids can get away from that, they can whatever, if they register with their parents as an underage account, there are no ads. You just, you know what I mean? Like, how much money would
we all sign up for that, and then we would never have to see these ads?
But then if you want to look at naughty accounts, you have to put in your driver's license. You're right. I would sign up as,
dirty. If you're listening right now, 844-967-2789, text or call 844-967-2789. What idea do you have that could make social media safer for kids? That's realistic.
Yeah, don't say take them all away.
Yes. And I think there's arguments as far as the parents' role. And I know that there's more and more people who are, you know, bribing basically their kids to stay off social media until they are 18, or they only get their kid a flip phone instead of a smartphone. And there's ways that on the parent side and even school side, as you said, the responsibility of schools, like, you can't have your phone in school. But as far as on the social media company side, what could they be doing if they were being earnest about it and they were saying, we are actually trying to solve this, what do you think would actually curb the problem?
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting of underage accounts don't have ads. It doesn't really help with cyberbullying. It doesn't help with the comparison of what is real life versus online life and
predators.
And it doesn't help with predators being able to target kids. Unless you just have a completely different profile of how, you know, that those accounts exist on the platform, if you say, and you have to self, but you still have to self-report, right? As far as I am underage.
Yeah. Well, and that's, yeah, that comes to more of a conversation with your parents when, like, I'm thinking about the kids who are, like, getting their phones when they're 10, 11. I mean, some kids, I know, get them when they're younger, but I'm thinking about, like, kids between the ages of, like, 10 and 15. They're in that middle school, high school range. They're getting new privileges from their parents. All right, I want a Facebook account. Well, no 12-year-old wants a Facebook account.
That's true.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that, kids.
I looked at my analytics the other day. I looked at my analytics across different platforms the other day.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, like, my biggest age range of people who watch and listen and are, like, subscribed to the Facebook page is, like, 35 to 45, which is, like, the age I am, so that makes sense. And then the next one is, like, 55, whatever. But, like, the 14 to 25 is so small. And I'm like, is that because of my content or just because they're not on Facebook anymore?
I think it's because they're not on Facebook. They're not politically engaged as much as older people are. And also, you're just not dancing enough, kiddo.
Clearly not.
Tall potatoes. You got to put those gams out there. But do the shaky leg thing. I don't know what they call it. But, you know. But, yeah,
I'm no Charlie D'Amelio. That is correct.
What is that now?
You don't even know who that is.
No.
I just think of going back to whose responsibility is it and how can we make it safer? It's going to go back to the parents.
Yeah,
it is.
And the thing is, go ahead.
I can't tell you the number of times when I see the parents on their phones ignoring their children who are trying to get their attention.
Oh, I mean, the downtimes I've gone to restaurants where you see you see 3-4 people in a family at that table just on their phones.
All on their phones.
And live your life. It's your decision. It's freedom, whatever, America, you rah-rah, CMH. I don't know. The point is that, like, it also is like, don't you ever want to talk to your family? Why even bother? Just order out and go to your room. I don't know. It's just, it seems like such a waste of time and money to go out to a restaurant if you're not even going to talk and engage. But that kind of then ties in a little bit to what we were talking about with regard to the UWM conservative-led symposium at the Great Wolf in the White Wolf Room. You know, we're trying to engage parents, but I feel like those groups are trying to engage parents to get angry and fearful and whip up fake outrage, and that influences votes. But I feel like what if we came together with a plan for kids, like the teachers and the parents, and said we want to, like, protect kids. I know it's tough. It's hundreds of millions of people involved in this plan. But, like, there has to be an equal engagement between teachers and students and parents and taking responsibility.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to keep talking about this through the break. So if you have thoughts, 844-967-2789. Specifically, I'm more interested because I think we talk about what's the role of parents and schools and the people who are actually are in the lives of kids and putting controls on social media. But what is the responsibility of these companies, and what could actually work as far as limitations on these accounts on these platforms that could work? 844-967-2789. Give us your thoughts. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Choice for news, talk, radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I say my hell is the closet and I'm stuck inside. Can't see the light. And my heaven is a nice house in the sky. Got central heating and I'm alright.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. J-Man Air is on the board. And we are taking your suggestions at 844-967-2789 on what you think big tech companies could actually do to protect kids who are using their platforms. I'm not sure we've cracked it yet.
First, they got to care about kids, and I'm not convinced.
Yeah, that is fair.
Kids over profits.
Yeah.
Because is there an argument to just not allow kids on, like, as a platform, like, you cannot be under 18 and use this? I think there's that would never happen.
I don't think it would ever happen. I don't think it needs to be
that draconian.
I don't think, you know, honestly, I'm surprised there aren't some lawmakers who haven't tried to do that already. Maybe there are. They just never got a committee. But the point is like, I think there are ways of doing it, but it's going to eat into their bottom line. Therefore, they don't have to do it because they're protected and they can just send out a press release saying, we believe in the utmost, the highest quality of services while also protecting our children and making sure that they don't. They don't. They don't need to. They don't need
to. And it's so funny because I feel like on the bigger entity, like individually, if you talk to people who work at these companies, they say they would.
Yeah.
Right. But as far as what their incentives are, what they're measured on, what the company is measured on, it just doesn't, that value or that emotion or that feeling does not get baked into what they get paid to do.
Yeah. It's a profit company. It's a profit driven company. It's got shareholders and all those other things. And, you know, I mean, it's not in their bottom line best interest as a company to take the consideration.
To limit who can be on there.
Well, not even to limit who can be on there, but also just, I mean, let's not, like, yes, we're talking about children, but let's not forget the fact that there are hundreds of millions of adults on there who are also being affected mentally by the ads and the accounts they see too. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from how it affects children. It also affects adults. And they don't care either way. They do not have to care. And the problem is like, there are things happening every day. Rachel talked about it. There are things happening every day through their pipeline from buyer to customer to all those things that are affecting people and still nothing's being done.
It's interesting. We started the Bernie Madoff docuseries last night
on
Netflix.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's also a reminder. I mean, one, that it sounds like he was a fraud from the beginning, which is wild. Yeah. And two, how heavily regulated finances and Wall Street is, mm-hmm. as far as the, you know, the entire departments that are dedicated to, like, you have to register, you have to do all this stuff to be able to, like, because you're in charge of people's, you are in charge of people's money, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's wild to think that didn't always exist, right? Like, that's something that was over time, these regulations and these departments and the things that were there to protect people that were trying to invest money from people who could take advantage of people developed, right? And it's interesting to think in a world 30, 40, maybe not even that long, where big tech, which is so unregulated right now, but is so profitable, mm-hmm. and is so, way more people are on social media than investing in the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the potential for regulatory systems to be set up for these things, like, is there ever going to be a world where that happens?
I think in order for that to happen, the people who are in charge of making the laws have to become smarter than they are as a whole.
Or younger.
Yeah, I don't think everybody who serves in Washington or at state level is dumb, but I think, once again, going back to what Rachel said, when you explain legislation, explain ideas, instead of being like, oh, yeah, we're trying to protect kids. Oh, we're trying to protect people. They go to the other side and go, well, are you trying to legalize prostitution? That's not what we said at all. Mm-hmm. So they don't go for it. So we either have to have younger and or smarter people in Washington to listen to these ideas and put forth legislation that does regulate these huge companies. I mean, there's nothing new. I mean, you get out of finance or out of big tech, there's other major companies that are regulated. This is not new. We can regulate the big tech companies. It will barely affect their bottom line, in my opinion, I think. And if it does, it's going to be a couple tens of millions? Oh, no, you only make $100 billion this year. Oh, no.
It's like Elon losing $200 billion and still being the second richest person in the world.
Nothing makes me happier than when that man is looking stupid.
You got another verse to that?
Second verse, same as the first. I totally off topic. I'll make it very, very quick. I watched The Big Bang Theory from start to finish, 12 seasons. Wow, that's a lot.
How many episodes is that?
That's 200 and some odd, 240.
I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, it's so fun. You just dive into it. It's they're 18 minute episodes a piece. It's fun.
Is that all a sitcom is? I thought it was 22 minutes.
It's 22, but I think it's for them, it's like between 18 and 19 because they have like 24 episodes per season instead of 22. So I think that's the difference. That was my theory, but I am not a scientist.
That's like a long sketch. That's not even that long.
Sometimes they're too long. But but like Elon Musk, there's a lot of great cameos on that show.
Musk was on that show?
He was on that show in an episode where they were like helping at a food kitchen. And he walks in and one of the people on the show is complaining about it. And he walks in saying like, isn't this great what we're doing? We're helping people. And I'm like, where is that Elon Musk? He's just so nice and kind. That Elon Musk would be beaten to death by new Elon Musk. He'd be put into a Cybertruck and sent off of a mountain. I have so many opinions on Elon Musk. I could talk about him for days.
Elon doesn't need to put him in a truck. He just needs to put him in a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's the Tesla stock doing? Is that rebounded yet?
Well, there was just another crash in San Francisco with a self-driving Tesla that stopped on the freeway and cost an 8-car pileup.
It's up today, 3.42%.
In the middle of all that rain. Did the rain make it stop? That is wild. This is totally off topic. But what is wild to me is the unbelievable storms that California is getting, and yet it's not making a dent in their drought. That is wrapping your head around that as far as it's, you know, partially because the reservoirs can't hold this amount of rain. So it's just going back to the ocean. So it's not like they can even store the amount of water to be able to help mitigate how bad the drought is. And I've just been checking with my friends that live there. I was like, you okay, dude? Because it looks
it's
horrendous.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
It really absolutely. Is. I did see something that said, though, that this same storm system is dropping a lot of snow in the mountains. So when the spring thaw comes, some of those reservoirs might actually get filled.
To have And I'm sure people who are going to Mammoth are very happy. Skiers and snowboarders.
I know what that means. Mammoth?
It's It's a mountain.
I didn't.
People ski there.
What's skiing?
God, okay. We're taking another
Tesla
break. When we come back, we're going to do some fun things with the Golden Globes. We're going to play some speeches that we liked. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. To say so much, to say so
much, to say. Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lakeway